We're going to study the book of Revelation. So far, we've seen a vision of Christ in chapter 1. Then in chapters 2 and 3, we saw the messages to the seven churches of Asia. That was representing the church age, which is coming to an end. It will end at the rapture, when we're taken out. And Jesus, he said the church is the salt and the light. Now, when the salt's taken away, putrefaction begins. When the light is taken out, darkness ensues. That's exactly what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Chapters 4 and 5, we were in heaven with John witnessing the great joy of God's people gathered around his throne. Now today we return back to the earth and begin to see the opening of the seals. We notice that Christ took a book with seven seals, which many believe is the title deed of the earth. And from here on out, we're going to see Jesus reclaiming that which he owns. He owns it by creation and by redemption. So he's taking back that which the devil has usurped, and he is going to receive it back again. We're going to see a trilogy of judgments. Seven seal judgments, which we're going to see today. Seven trumpet judgments, and seven vial judgments. In the breaking of the seventh seal, there's the sounding of the seven trumpets. At the sounding of the seventh trump, there's the pouring out of the seven vials or bowls of God's wrath. We're going to the seal trumpets, or seal judgments today in chapter 6. And these really take part in the first half of the tribulation. And it will be a time of God's terrible wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. Jesus said about that in Matthew 24, 21. He said, "For this shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." A time of great tribulation. It's going to be worse than the plagues that fell upon Egypt. It's going to be worse than any plague or famine or pestilence that this world has ever seen. It's going to be worse than the Holocaust of World War II. That's what's coming. A time of great judgment. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 24, 22, "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." I believe that we're right there at the time that this could begin. I believe the rapture could take place at any day. We're going to be ushered up into the throne room of God. These seals are going to be broken. And just in a few days, these things will begin to happen here on earth. Today we're going to talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You've heard about that, haven't you? The four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is what happens when the Lord begins to break the seals of this little book. The scroll is unrolled, and one at a time, the seals are broken to introduce another judgment coming upon this world. And folks, the horrors of the Great Tribulation, you don't want to be here. You definitely don't want to be here when that happens. And you don't have to be. If you've not yet done it, I pray that you'll accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and be ready to meet him when he comes. Let's look at this, chapter 6, verse 1 in the book of Revelation. John said, "I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder." Thunder always announces a coming storm, doesn't it? He said, "One of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Let's just stop there. Let's note these one at a time. First of all, here's the white horse of deception. The white horse of deception. Now, if you've not been with us, you may well wonder about these four beasts. They were introduced back in chapter 4. And it's not a beast like you would think of a monster or something. The word is zoa in the Greek, the word we get zoo from in our language. And it really means four living creatures. We believe they are the cherubim of the highest class of angels in heaven. So these are angels being referred to here. And he introduces the first horse, a white horse, and he that sat on him is described. Now some try to identify the white horse rider with the Lord Jesus, because in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus comes riding on a white horse. But I don't think this is the same person. There's some differences here that indicate that this is not the Lord Jesus Christ here. This is a false, deceptive Messiah. This is the Antichrist. It is the white horse of deception. So think about the white horse and its rider here. We call him the Antichrist. Anti is a prefix, which means it can mean either against or instead of. And it's both with Antichrist. He comes against the Lord Jesus Christ, and he comes instead of Christ, trying to get the world to believe that he is the Messiah. He comes imitating Jesus Christ. Write this verse down, John 5:43. Jesus there said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. That's a reference to the Antichrist. This world rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, but it will embrace the counterfeit Christ. He will come and present himself and promote himself as the Messiah. Folks, listen, the world is ripe for the Antichrist. The world is ripe for Satan's Messiah to come on the scene. People are looking for a hero to come in on a white horse who has the answers to all the problems we have in this world. Now we're going to learn a lot more about the Antichrist when we get to chapter 13. But the Bible describes him as a world leader who proclaims himself to be the promised Messiah. He comes on a white horse, a symbol of war. Now, Christ is pictured in chapter 19 coming on a white horse, but he comes with a sword. This rider comes with a bow. But it doesn't mention any arrows, does it? Just a bow. He's not really coming to wage war. He's coming to bring peace, or so he says. He's coming to bring peace upon the earth. The white color of the horse suggests that there will be victories that he will win without bloodshed. A peaceful political victory is implied here. So the Antichrist is coming, and he represents the blasphemous philosophy of these last days. Those anti-Christian ideologies that we see today. Hey, that's preparing the way for the Antichrist and for the devil's gospel. He will send, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me. Because God says that there will be strong delusion when he, the Antichrist, comes. We see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 7, it says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, and that means hinder. He who hinders will hinder. Somebody's hindering evil today. And he'll hinder until he be taken out of the way. We believe that's a reference to the Holy Spirit. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now notice this. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. Actually, in the Greek, it's the lie. There's an article there. They shall believe the lie. The lie is the Antichrist. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So coming with the Antichrist, the Holy Spirit's going to be removed. We believe the church, which is Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, will be removed. And all restraint of evil is going to be taken out of the way. Now, folks, the white horse rider has not come yet, because the great restrainer is still here. The church is still here. But can't we see the shadow of this horse already? We know that this is very near. The machinery for a major worldwide Antichrist propaganda offensive is already in place. He's given a bow, a sign of military power, but he's not going to use military. He's going to come in peace. Says he's wearing a crown. Now, the crown here and the crown Jesus wears are two different words. The crown the Antichrist is wearing is called a Stephanos. We got any Stephens here? Stephen means crown. Now, the Antichrist wears a Stephanos, which is like the laurel leaf crown that maybe a winner in the Olympic Games would be given back then. Christ comes wearing a diadem, a different kind of crown. That is a crown of royalty. That's the crown of a king. He's coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's given that crown by the one sitting on the throne. Where's the Antichrist get his crown? From the devil. Satan gives him authority and power, as we just saw in 2 Thessalonians. So he's coming as a conqueror, but he wants to conquer the world in peace. Daniel tells you he's going to make a peace treaty with Israel. Between Israel and the Muslim nations, he's going to bring peace, finally peace, to the Middle East. But it's short-lived. It won't last long. So we see the white horse and its rider, and we see the white horseman and his religion. According to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, 7 years are assigned to Israel in God's great prophetic calendar, and it begins with the signing of an agreement with the world dictator. It says he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 1 week of years. And in the midst of the week of years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. That's talking about the temple that will be rebuilt. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Talk about the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist is going to allow the temple to be rebuilt. It can be rebuilt very quickly. They're all ready to build it. It can be rebuilt in a year or so. And when it's built, he's going to enter into the Holy of Holies and perform the abomination of desolation, proclaiming himself to be God and demanding he be worshipped. We're going to talk about that later when we go in chapter 13 and following. But we see everything is set up already for the Antichrist to come. Folks, the world is desperate for somebody who can bring peace among the nations. They're going to embrace the Antichrist. He's going to be a man of great wisdom and intelligence, a man of great charisma. And the world is going to bow down to him. But the peace he brings is a false sense of peace. His whole agenda, as we're going to see, is to destroy Israel. Amen. That's what he wants more than anything, is to destroy the nation of Israel and the chosen people of God. Daniel says in Daniel 8:25, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. That's the Antichrist. Humanistic philosophy is preparing his way. Secular religion has many similarities that the Antichrist will be able to use. Their creed is being taught throughout the world. It's being taught in our schools. Did you know that? It's being taught in our government and in our institutions. Our world is ready for the coming of the Antichrist. The gospel has been rejected. But when the Antichrist comes, he will be received. See, Orthodox Christianity, what we call fundamental Christianity, is hated in our day and time. It's hated. People in positions of power hate what we believe and what we practice. They want global unity. They want a new world order. And folks, it's coming. It is coming. There's going to be a one world government under the Antichrist. There's going to be a one world religion under the false prophet. They're going to join forces, and all that we see in the book of Revelation is about to come to pass. We see a lot. Some think the tribulation's already started. In preparing these, I've been on YouTube. Man, they've got millions of videos on YouTube. And just anybody can put one up there. And I've noticed some that they say we're already in tribulation. One guy said the sixth seal. We're already at the sixth seal. I don't see that, do you? I don't see that. As we go along, you're going to see that this has not happened yet. But they say, well, because of all the problems today, the pandemic, the rioting, the division, the attacks upon Israel, all the natural disasters. Well, Jesus said, be not troubled. These things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Yeah, we're at the door. But we're not, folks, listen to me. The tribulation period will not start until he breaks that first seal. And the Antichrist comes on the scene. He's not here yet. Oh, he's probably here. He's probably alive, but he has not been revealed yet. So the tribulation will not start until that happens. Let's look at the red horse of destruction. Go back to Revelation and look at verses 3 and 4. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast or angel say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. So the peace of the first rider is very short-lived. Now we have war and destruction coming with the second rider. Here is a depiction of war and desolation. Think about the conditions here that are shattered when this happens. Peace is taken from the earth. Peace is taken. What little bit of peace there was has now been removed. Now we have war. Here is war personified. Class wars, race wars, religious wars. Everywhere you look, there's going to be wars. Jesus said in Matthew 24... verses 6 through 7, he said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Ezekiel 38:21. Says, I will call for a sword against him through all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. This symbolizes the belligerent policies of these last days. The red horse rider gives the Antichrist a greater opportunity to take control of this world. They are in full harmony as to their goals. They work together. Now, Folks, things are bad now. But not going to get any better. Oh, Brother West, you're a prophet of doom. No, I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible never says the world's going to get better and better. The Bible says it's going to get worse and worse. The salt and light are taken, and hate and evil will be unrestrained. You think it's bad now, just wait. When God's people are gone, how it's going to be. Secondly, the conflict that is started here. He's given a great sword. The Antichrist is going to rise to power by doing what nobody else could do. He's going to bring peace for a little while to troubled Middle East. He's going to pose as Israel's protector and defender. But it won't be long and his true colors are going to show. He will attempt to dominate the world as its dictator, setting off a worldwide conflict that's going to last throughout the tribulation period. Now, you know, today we live in a world that's armed to the teeth. Amen? It's amazing the weaponry that nations have. Many have invented multiple ways to destroy this earth. The Bible says in Daniel 8:24, talking about the Antichrist, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, by the power of Satan. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. That's God's people. And he's going to be energized by the devil himself. Now, folks, listen. God once sent a peace offer to this world when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace came, but men scorned him and nailed him to a cross. And until he returns, war will go on. And finally, war will be personified, coming on a blood-red horse of destruction. Look at verses 5 and 6. The third horse is the black horse of deprivation. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The black horse is associated with famine. War usually results in famine. Did you know that? Jesus said in Matthew 24:7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and there shall be famines." You note the extreme conditions here. We know famine follows war like night follows day. A pair of balances or scales are seen in the hand of the third rider. It's a picture of rationing food because of famine. People are going to be standing in long food lines due to the scarcity of food during this time. Some might remember the rationing that went on during World War II. Food and gas and many things were rationed back then. Consumer goods take a back seat to military production. And the typical allocation of sugar back then was 12 ounces per week during World War II. Coffee, you had an allowance of 1 pound of coffee for a 5-week period. In order to purchase food, a point system was created. Ration books were distributed. You were allowed about 3 gallons of gas per week. Such things as that will come again. We're going to see this again. We won't, but the world will. It's what's coming. Not only the extreme conditions, but note the expensive conditions. Certain measures are described here. A measure of wheat A measuring wheat would be about a quart. 3 quarts of barley. Barley is a cheap form of grain, usually used for livestock, to feed the livestock. A small ration is going to cost you a penny. Now don't think about the copper coin you got in your pocket. This is the Greek word denarius. And a denarius would represent a day's wages for an average worker. Food is going to be so expensive that it's going to cost you a day's wages just to have one meal for that day. See thou hurt not the oil and wine. There's a lot of different ideas about what that means. These, I think, refer to luxury items that will be very scarce at that time. Folks, think about this. The days of abundance we're seeing right now, where you go into a grocery store, to Reeser's or Walmart, and the shelves are just full. When Brother Ginn from India came here, he could not believe it. To walk into a Walmart and to see shelves full of groceries and items. He said back home the shelves were empty. Even if you got money, he said the people in his district pretty much live on one bowl of rice per day. Can you imagine that? Meat is a luxury. Only on very special occasions do you get a chunk of fat meat to put in your rice. That's what's coming. Now, there are people already starving around the world. But when this happens, this is going to be worldwide. America is going to suffer from this famine. The days of abundance will be over. We saw some empty shelves at the beginning of the pandemic, didn't we? Especially when you couldn't find TPE and stuff like that. We got a little taste of that, but it's going to be a lot worse. When all this hits, half the world today, I guess, goes to bed hungry. But I read this. In America, 15% of all edible food in the world ends up in our garbage cans. Do you know that? At a cost of $17.5 billion annually. Your little pet dog has a higher protein diet than most people in the world today. Amen. I think, again, we can see the shadow of this black horse already. By the way, when we talk about famine, there is a famine going on today of God's Word. There's a famine of God's Word being preached and heard. See, starving people will eat anything. They'll eat bugs and worms and whatever they can get their hands on. Starving people eat anything. And I think we're living in a day and time when people are starved for the Word of God, and yet they're feeding on false doctrine because that's all they hear. Amen. Folks, it's our job to get the truth out. Amen. And share the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7 and 8, the fourth horse. Verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth angel say, "Come and see." And I looked and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now, we know the rider on the pale horse is Clint Eastwood. Amen. He is the pale rider. Now, the rider here is identified as Death. Some render it pestilence. Pestilence. War and famine lead to widespread pestilence. So all these things work together. Now, we've already seen an AIDS epidemic. We've seen a COVID pandemic. These may be the beginning of sorrows Jesus is talking about. This is just a foretaste of what is to come. By the way, the pale horse, what color is that? Actually, it speaks of a pale greenish color. The color of death. The color of a corpse is what you're seeing here. Not the population it affects. I think, you know, back in Ezekiel 14:21, I believe God may have been referring to these four riders way back then. Look at this. He says, "For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from man and beast." Same description, isn't it? They estimate that by 1850, there were 1 billion people on earth. By 1987, there were 5 billion people. Today, they say there's close to 8 billion people on earth. A fourth part of the earth dies during the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Folks, that's 2 billion people. That makes the death count of the pandemic look like nothing. Can you imagine? 2 billion people will die in this short period of time. That's amazing. But there's a chain reaction. First comes the Antichrist, then world wars, then famine, then pestilence. War brings famine, famine brings death, and after death, there's hell. Hell and judgment. Because riding with death, it says, is hell. Hades. Death takes the body. Hell takes the soul. What a horrible time is coming. To kill with death. How do you kill with death? Well, the word for death is not the idea of death per se, but of plagues and pestilence. You know, a modern man is crowned with all of his other insanities. He's now added pestilence to his arsenals. Now we've got germ warfare. They've got enough bacteria stockpiled to infect people with scores of diseases. They have chemical agents. Today they can destroy entire populations of great cities. Some nations have already been guilty of using biological warfare. Iraq did under Saddam Hussein. Not only the population it affects, but the procedure it adopts. Death used four means. There's the sword, those killed in war. There's famine or starvation. There is death, referring to disease. By the way, during the Civil War, I just read this. Did you know more soldiers died from disease than died in battle? During the great influenza epidemic of 1918-1919, 30 million people died. More than three times the estimated 8.5 million soldiers that were killed in World War II. What about these beasts? There's another way people are going to die, by beasts. Some believe that this is really a reference to rats. You know, rats are responsible for uncounted millions of deaths, both by eating food supplies and by spreading disease. The rat is the most destructive animal on earth. And they're very prolific, producing five or more litters of 8 to 10 per litter every year. There was the Black Death of the 14th century, an outbreak of the bubonic plague, a rat-borne disease. It wiped out one-third of Europe's population. Typhus killed an estimated 200 million people in four centuries, transmitted by rat fleas. Many other animals carry disease. And all this can add to this mixture. And hell follows after death. Folks, it's just one nightmare after another. Death does not end the torment. It only begins. Because then they're cast into hell. These are the Christ rejectors. God is going to pour out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. And if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a Christ rejector. You're going to be part of this group if you don't get saved. So, preacher, you're trying to scare us? Yes. Yes. If you're lost, you ought to be scared. Because you're going to have to live through the most horrible nightmare this world has ever seen. 25% of the world's population will die as a result of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. That's just the beginning. We got the trumpet judgments and the vial judgments to come. Many more are going to die. It all begins with the coming of the Antichrist. He deceives while Christ is the truth. He brings war. Jesus brings peace. The Antichrist brings famine. Jesus is the bread of life. Amen? The Antichrist brings death. Jesus offers you eternal life. Not much of a choice there, is there? And yet many choose to reject Jesus. It's unbelievable. Folks, mark it down. These days are coming. This is not fiction. This is not mythology. These days are coming. And it'll be horrible to be left behind, to live through this nightmare. Are you ready to meet God? Brother Sam, don't y'all come and prepare for an invitation hymn. If you're not saved, you can get saved today. Let's stand together as we bow our heads in prayer. As we stand, every head bowed, every eye closed in prayer. Lost friend, you have a great opportunity right now. You're in the presence of God, and right now you can pray, and you can ask God to forgive you of your sins. You can ask God to save you today. You can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you pray? God's waiting. Would you call upon Him today?